Great, thank you very much. Thank you very much. 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5.
Hey Daniel, I'm not gonna use that PowerPoint, okay? Sorry guys. 2 Kings chapter 5. Look there at verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel and a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." You keep your Bible open there, because that what we've read really isn't what I want to look at, but it's the start of a story that I want to look at. And to be honest with you, I have never in my life sat on a platform and changed what I was going to preach, but I did this morning. And I believe it is what God would have you hear. So if you would, pay close attention, and I will not be long. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, for giving us so many good things. How grateful we should be, hopefully how grateful we are. And Lord, I love this place. I love our ministry. And it's been a part of my heritage, the heritage of my family. I pray that you would speak through me, help me to say what I should. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot to be said here about this passage. First of all, God specifically points out that this great man that we know of as Naaman, and when I say great, that's because he was a powerful man, right? That power we know was given to him by God, right? Because it says God used him to deliver the Israelites in the hand of this man. But that's not really what the direction I want to go. You know the story of Naaman, right? This little maid that lived in his house and said, "Oh, would to God that master was in Israel, because there's a prophet there that could heal him of his leprosy," right? You know that story? Can I tell you just my opinion in 30 seconds about something? I can't prove it by the word of God, so maybe I should stand over here away from the pulpit, okay? Hey, you know what I think? I think that this maid was talking about Elijah. I believe she was talking about Elijah. Two chapters before, Elijah was taken to heaven in a whirlwind, and I believe she had been in Syria for some time. That's my opinion. But aren't we thankful that there was still a man of God in Israel? Because it wasn't Elijah that healed her master, it was Elisha. And by the way, there are people that point others to Hiles Anderson College because of Brother Hiles. Well, you know what? Brother Hiles isn't here. Thank God that I have a pastor in Pastor Wilkerson that is still a man of God, that is still here helping my family, helping us. Because there's still a man of God here. And luckily, there was still a man of God in Israel, or Naaman would have gone there, and we'd never have this story in this chapter because Elisha was dead. But there was still a man of God there, okay? Elisha had learned from Elijah a phrase. And that phrase was this. 1 Kings chapter 17, if we were to look there, this is where Elijah comes on the scene. And we don't know much of anything about Elijah. We know he was a Tishbite. That word is used 6 times in Scripture, so we could figure out what a Tishbite is. Unfortunately, it's always in reference to Elijah, so that doesn't help. We don't know what a Tishbite is. And in this day and age, you know, when the Bible was written, who your mom was, who your dad was very important. So that was left out on purpose. Elijah was a nobody, except for God. And when he comes onto the scene, we find his finger in Ahab's face, right? The most powerful man in the kingdom, a very wicked man. And he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." And then he goes on and says what he's going to say. But Elijah had a habit of starting sentences that way. I'm sure he didn't use it often, you know. Would you like fries with that? As the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand, I do not. You know, I don't think that he used it all the time. And I don't mean to be sacrilegious about that. I really don't. But I believe you find it in Scripture. Elijah used it. And if you notice in this passage, now we're to Elisha. Elijah's gone to heaven in a whirlwind. You know what Elisha likes to say? As the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand. As the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand. And that's a good thing to just know. God is alive. And that doesn't mean that God has a pulse. Doesn't mean if you look closely, you can see that he is breathing. No, that means that God is vibrant. God is active, okay? And God is vibrant and active today, just as much as he was in Elijah's day or Elisha's day. But the part I'd also like to focus on is that before whom I stand. What does that mean, before whom I stand? Does that mean that somehow I'm in front of God and in line? Or certainly that doesn't mean importance, right? What does that mean? As the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand, before whom I stand very simply means I serve him. I serve him. Before whom I stand, if you were to look at the story when the Queen of Sheba visits Solomon in all his glory, and she said, boy, the half has not been told, right? You know that story? She makes a statement about Solomon's servants who stand before thee, right? That was a term used about a servant who stands before a king. So when Elijah and Elisha say, as the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand, what they are saying is I serve him. That God that's vibrant, that God that is active, that God that is energized today, I serve him. So that statement was very important to who these men were. And you don't find anybody but Elijah and Elisha making that statement, as the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand. As the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand. So, you know the story of Naaman. Elisha, when Naaman gets there, doesn't even come out of his tent, right? And that upsets Naaman. Elisha sends his servant Gehazi out to tell Naaman to go dip in the Jordan River, right? You know that story. Naaman doesn't want to do it. His staff members talk him into doing it. And when he comes up out of the water his seventh time, he looks at his arms. He looks at his body that was covered with leprosy. And the Bible says that his skin was like a young child, like a baby skin, okay? Perfect skin when he came up out of the water. He was healed. And now he goes back to Elisha's tent. And for the first time, remember, Naaman meets Elisha. Because Elisha didn't talk to Naaman when he showed up the first time, right? Elisha sent his servant. So now it's the first conversation between Elisha and Naaman. And Naaman had brought all this stuff. And now that he was healed, he wanted to give it all to Elisha, right? You know that story? You know that part of the story? We're going to pick up that part. Look at verse number 15. This is Elijah's response. I'm sorry, it's verse number 16. Elisha's response to Naaman. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. As the Lord liveth, right? Typical Elisha. Before whom I stand, I will receive none. Hey, watch me. You know the story doesn't stop there, right? You remember the rest of the story? He sends Naaman away, and we got Gehazi. Gehazi, Elisha's servant. He's thinking to himself, man, Naaman, he seemed pretty eager to give all that stuff away. It's a shame for him to have to carry all that stuff back to Syria, right? Man, I could use a couple changes of garment, and he had some bags of silver. I could use a couple of those, right? Hey, Elisha had already said, as the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. His master was clear. God's will was clear. Notice what I want you to understand and what I want you to notice is in verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian and not receiving at his hands that which he brought, but as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Do you recognize what's missing? Do you recognize what's missing? Gehazi said, because he heard it. In my opinion, I believe Gehazi heard Elijah say it. And Gehazi has heard Elisha, his master, say it. Gehazi doesn't say, before whom I stand, does he? Gehazi knew that God was alive. Gehazi knew that God was active. Gehazi knew that God was vibrant. Gehazi knew that God could do miracles. But he honestly could not say, I serve him. I serve him. And if I were to ask you, God alive? Does God have a pulse today? But more importantly, is God active? Is God vibrant? What brought you here to Hiles Anderson College? Was it not God? Was it not God working in your life that brought you a different path from everybody else's in this room, but his path led you here? Was that not a God working in your life? Is that not what happened to you? Can you say, before whom I stand? Because I believe that everybody in this room would say, God is alive. God is vibrant. God is active. But can you say, I serve him? I stand before his throne, just waiting, eager to say, yes, sir, at whatever the command is, and I'm going to do it. Now, hold on. Before we villainize Gehazi too much, we won't look there, but if you turn the chapter back to chapter 14, can I tell you what happens in chapter 14? Elisha and Gehazi are brought in by the Shunammite woman. You know this story? And her husband. And Elisha wants to do something kind for this woman. It was Gehazi's idea. Hey, don't miss this. It was Gehazi's idea. Hey, Elisha, she doesn't have a son. Elisha said, hey, maybe we should speak to the king for her, right? Maybe I should talk to the captain of the host for her. And it was Gehazi that said, Elisha, she doesn't have a son. I think she would like a son. Hey, 9 months later, that woman, the great woman of Shunem, she gives birth to a little boy. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Gehazi felt like he had a part in the birth of that little boy? What do you think? You think so? You think when Gehazi and his master, Elisha, would make their way to that woman's house, do you not think that Gehazi would play with that little boy? Huh? Would take special note when he would take his first steps? Would take special note when that little boy talked for the first time? Do you not think that Gehazi paid special attention to that little boy? Because that little boy was Gehazi's idea. How about the day when that little boy was at least old enough to be in the field, and Elisha and Gehazi see that Shunammite woman coming on a big donkey, right? Coming on a donkey. And Elisha says, hey, Gehazi, go find out what she needs. And Gehazi was there when that woman fell on Elisha's feet and said, my son is dead. And Elisha hands his staff to Gehazi, his servant, and says, Gehazi, I need you to run back and put that on the body of this little boy. And we know that the great Shunammite woman stayed with Elisha. So this was just Gehazi with Elisha's staff in a room by himself with the corpse of that little boy. And he laid that staff on the body of that little boy. Can you imagine that morbid scene? Just Gehazi and that boy in that room. And nothing happened. I mean, if I'm Gehazi, wouldn't you think this is Elisha's staff? I'm going to lay it on this little boy, my favorite little guy in the whole world. I'm going to lay that on his body, and he's going to stand up and say, hey, Gehazi, what are you doing here, right? Well, that's not what happened. Gehazi had to go in the front yard and meet Elisha and say, Elisha, I did what you told me, and the boy, he's still dead. He's still dead. Can I tell you something? That little boy walked out of that front door just a few moments later. And Gehazi saw that. You think that was some special day in the life of Gehazi? You think Gehazi had any doubt that God was alive, that God was vibrant, that God was working? You're nuts if you think that.
Gehazi knew that God was alive. Gehazi knew that God was working. Gehazi knew that God was powerful, just like I do and just like you. God, is there anything in my life that would keep me from being able to honestly say, I serve you. I serve you. Could it be something as cheap and as tawdry as money? As money? As a couple changes of garment, as two bags of silver that would keep me from saying, I serve that vibrant God. I serve him. And I'm standing here waiting. God, you tell me, is there something about my life that you want me to change? Is there something about my life that I need to improve? Do I need to watch what I say? Is there somebody on this planet that I need to forgive? Is there anything, Lord, that you have for me to do? Because I believe you're alive. And God, with my whole heart, I would want to say, I would want to be able to honestly say, I stand before him. I serve him. Can you say that today? God is alive. Can you say, I serve him? Head bowed, eyes closed. Lord, could you just think, is there anything possibly in your life that would be between you and being able to say, I serve God? Hey, it could be something serious, and I don't mean to minimize it, but can I tell you, in comparison to serving a vibrant, active God, that whatever it is cheap. It doesn't compare with an opportunity to be able to say, I serve a vibrant God. Dear Lord, please use this message. Please take your words of Scripture, and I pray you would make a difference in our lives. Lord, I have no doubt that there are thousands and thousands of people outside of these walls who are depending on us to be the servants for you that we should be. Lord, I pray that as your word was preached, I pray that if you revealed something to us, that you know what? There is something that would keep me from saying, I serve the Lord. Because I think in this area of my life, I don't think I serve him there. Or in this area of my life, he's told me to do this and I haven't done it. Or in this area of my life, he's told me to not do this and I haven't quit that. Lord, I pray we'd be able to honestly say, not only is the God we serve alive and vibrant and active, but there's nothing that I wouldn't do for him. And Lord, as we live our lives and you reveal through Scripture, through your men, that you know what? There are things that we need to change and things that we need to adjust. I pray that we would. Thank you for loving us, for giving us what we have. Thank you for being such a great God. In Jesus' name, amen.